And welcome back to the What's Up program with your host, Terry Lowry. We still have the author with us, Mark Cahill. Mark, you're just a soul-winning machine, aren't you?
Well, I don't want to lay up treasures here on earth that I can't take out of here. I'd rather lay up treasures in heaven that will last for eternity. And I can't think of anything more important to the God of this universe than a soul that he has created. There is nothing more important than that. And I've got to be that focused in my life to make sure I'm living a life that matters for eternity and that is reaching these lost souls before they take a last breath without a relationship, a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
The people that you come in contact with, you know, before the football game or the basketball game or at the airport, do most people believe that their heart will stop beating someday, but they just never stop to think about it?
I've only met one guy who didn't believe it, and he said, there's probably only about a 99.9% chance I'm going to die. I said, okay, what's the one-tenth? I really think there's going to be some breakthrough where they're going to be able to keep me alive or freeze me cryogenically, that I'm going to be alive still hundreds of years. I said, dude. He said, yeah. I said, don't even try it. You're going to die, and you know it. And he was just trying to be funny. And so, no, people know it, but their consciences are deadened. These TVs deaden us, okay? We're just sitting here sucking up hours of TV, and how many of us are going to stand in front of God? Probably me being one of those, that I spent more time this lifetime watching a television than I did reading the Word of God. That is not acceptable for a believer. It didn't happen to Peter, didn't happen to Paul, and don't give me the excuse, well, they didn't have TVs. That's an excuse, and we are the kings of excuses, okay? Lost people, I find out, are very intrigued to have a very good, solid conversation with a believer. We've been in our churches, we know our Bibles, we need to go tell somebody what's in that book.
Well, yeah, I find that most people don't want to share their belief because they've been told that they're imposing their beliefs on somebody else, that they should be more tolerant of the non-believer. But back to the story that I used of driving down the freeway at night in a rainstorm, your car falls down the ravine because the flood washed out the bridge. You were lucky enough to live. You crawl out of the ravine and you're walking back up the freeway trying to stop people, and they're flying by you, avoiding you. Some may want to try to hit you because they think you're a maniac as they fall off the ravine, but that person is able to save some. We can't save everyone. Is it God's will, Mark Cahill, that none should perish?
That's exactly what 2 Peter 3 says. And oh my goodness, come on, imposing your belief on somebody. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did with the woman at the well. It's exactly what he did with the rich young ruler. It's exactly what Paul did in front of King Agrippa and in front of Felix. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he came to visit the world. He imposed the truth out there to counteract the lies. That's what the Bible does. It imposes the truth into this world. We're supposed to be imposing people's lives. Satan does it every single day into people's lives, and we don't get up in arms about that. You're supposed to go tell somebody the truth. It's an exciting thing for you, but trust me, it's an exciting thing for them. I am so glad four people walked into my life in college and told me the truth about God's Word and Jesus Christ. You are so glad, Terry, that a guy, pastor, you're trying to sell a Bible to had a much more important thing to talk about, Jesus Christ. Yes, he imposed in your life, but that's a thankful imposition, not a bad one.
Well, when I knocked on his door and he answered it, I could tell by his body language and the words that he was using that he was speaking to me, the odds of me selling him a Bible were very, very slim. Yet he opens the door immediately in a very gruff voice, you know, what are you selling? I don't need any magazines. Why are you here? Why are you interrupting my day? And I knew by those words that chance of selling him a Bible were almost nothing. But for some reason, I stayed to play a mind game with him. And when I finally pulled out of my sales kit to show him what I sold wasn't magazines, but were Bibles, he could have said, I'm a preacher, I got all the Bibles I need. He could have slammed the door.
Right.
But the way he treated me, he felt convicted. So he invites me into his study. He sets me in a corner, 10 o'clock in the morning. His wife brought me a sandwich. Later in the afternoon, his wife brought me another sandwich. At 8 o'clock that night, we talked about spiritual things for 10 hours. At many times, I felt like running and leaving, and but I knew I needed what he was trying to convince me of.
Right.
And I finally accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then I brought my wife back to his little church on Sunday evening. She accepted Jesus Christ, and I can honestly say we have both never been the same. Oh, hallelujah. Now, in America, you write about, in your great book, The Flames, covered in Chapter 4, that Barna Research Group, estimates that, due to their surveys, that about 76% of Americans believe that heaven exists. Is that true?
Well, that's true from Barna. I think what happened in a Christianized, to a point, culture, from the majority of people being in America either Christian by name or Catholic, that the notion of heaven or hell has been put in front of us. And you also get that in some Hollywood movies, different notions of that, stuff like that, all dogs go to heaven and stuff like that. So we've been bombarded with that thought. But if 76% of us actually thought that, wouldn't we, one, be living a different life to make sure we were going to heaven, unless we think that God is just going to judge us on our good and bad deeds, as Islam believes, then we think we've done enough good deeds to counteract the bad things that we've done. We may have a bad piece of information there, but see, if I really firmly believe there's a heaven, I'd be doing everything in my power to make sure I had the right answer, to make sure I knew where I was going when I walked out of here.
Well, I don't know if it was the same survey, but Barna also reports, and you write about it in your Chapter 4, found in One Heartbeat Away, that again, Barna Research Group reports that one half of 1% of Americans said they expect to go to hell, whereas 64% say they think they're headed for heaven. Can you comment on that? Only one half of 1% say, I'm going to hell. Is it because people don't want to admit they're going to hell?
Well, I don't even think they want to admit that. I think people actually believe that. And the reason I think people believe that, through all the lost people I've chatted with, is they actually think that God is going to compare people against other people. And so what they're doing is, they're not quite as good as, let's just say, Billy Graham or Mother Teresa as an example, or they're not quite as evil as Stalin or Lenin or Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or Hitler. They're somewhere else in that mix there. But they think deep within that they're closer to the good side than the bad side. And of course, there's two major problems. They don't understand the holiness of God. And because God is holy, one sin is as nasty as 100,000 sins. That's why there's none righteous, no, not one. They don't understand that. And the other thing they don't understand, we talk about in this chapter, is the wrath of God. God hates evil. He hates wickedness. He hates darkness. And there is a side of God, all-loving God, who has a wrathful side also, has a judgment side also, and he is going to judge wickedness. Well, I can tell you what, I need to find out what that wickedness is, and the scriptures are very, very clear on that.
Well, Ray Comfort, says this in his great book on how to teach your children to be saved, is that, now friends, you might teach a Sunday school class at your church of, maybe second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders. Now, just picture this, Mark, going into a Sunday school class, going into a college, going into a high school chapel, going in saying, okay, I want to ask you, who all wants to go where there's fire, where there's gnashing of teeth, where there's continual wailing, where the worms continue to eat your body, you're always in pain. Who wants to go there? Now, Mark, hold your thought. We're going to take a break, give away another copy of One Heartbeat Away, Your Journey into Eternity, by our current guest, Mark Cahill. Friends, be a caller right now. Listen to the announcer. Give out that number. Give us a call. Try to get a copy of One Heartbeat Away. If you're not lucky enough to get a copy, go to your local Christian bookstore. Log on to Mark's website. Order one from him at markcahill.org, or go to lifeway.com or christianbooks.com. We're going to give away a copy right now, and come back and ask Mark about, where do you want to go? Do you want to go where you're going to be burning up?